Krishna East. Because there's been many reports that I've been too liberal recently.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. And how to regain the ecstasy, why am I not experiencing ecstasy, what happens, and how, basically how to be connected to Krishna consciousness, because we've sort of, many of us have lost our connection. Joking aside, when we first joined the movement, I think all of you experienced a lot of ecstasy. Maybe even some of you saw Krishna. Did anyone here see Krishna? Raise your hand. One. Here. Tell about yourself, Krishna. So, anyway, many of us were humble, but we did have some like really heavy spiritual realization, vision, ecstasy. And we were really attentive to chanting our japa when we joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, right? It was really, Hare Krishna, oh my best friend Krishna is with me. Oh, it's so ecstatic. And now, Hare Krishna. You know, we're lucky if we can get the words out of our mouth. So we're going to describe why we're disconnected. Actually, why we're disconnected can be explained very nicely by Srila Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami explains the Upadesha Veda, which some of you may have. Achahara Prayasacha Pajalpa Niyamagraha Ajana Sangasya Chasa Bhirvati Vanashati. Of course, these are disconnections. Niyam agraha is the word we're going to talk about today. Now, the word niyam agraha, basically there's two different words there. So, niyam agraha means not to follow the rules and regulations, and we hope all of you are following the two regulating principles. No meat, fish, and eggs. What is the second one? So, what we're going to be speaking about is something called Niyam Agraha. That is, doing what we're doing, you know, chanting Hare Krishna, maybe following the regular principles, maybe going to Mangalarti, but not doing any of those things. So that's a shock. How could I say we're doing all those things and also not doing all those things? How is that possible? Does anyone have an idea? How can you do everything and not do all those things simultaneously?
You just do it as a ritual.
As a ritual. In other words, in attention. Like one devotee said to me one time, wake me up when my rounds are finished. So I'm sure we've experienced. And our mind, as Krishna, as Arjuna described in the sixth chapter of the Gita, Chanchalai Manaha Krishna, Ramati Balabhad Dudam, Tachaham Nigraham Manye, Vayor Yubashidushkaram. The mind is restless, turbulent, and obstinate, and more difficult to control than the wind. So this is what we call Niyamagraha. I'm going to read some quotes from His Divine Grace, Esni Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada, about Niyamagraha. One or two quotes. One, and this is from Srimad Bhagavatam class in Los Angeles. Another meaning of Niyamagraha means simply Niyamagraha. Simply blindly following the rules and regulations, but he does not know for what he is doing that. The Prabhupada uses a Sanskrit expression, and maybe Maharaj can translate it for us, because I've never found the translation of this. Gandharanika Prabaha. They didn't know how to write it down. Gandharanika Prabaha. Sound like anything you know? Yeah. Prabhupada said it's called Gandharanika Prabhupada, whatever that means. And it means everyone is doing this, but he does not understand why he is doing it. Oh my God. There are many stories of this Gandharanika Prabhupada, whatever that is. Sometimes I will tell you. In other words, doing something without knowing why. And here, just another quote. Agraha means not to accept, and Niyamagraha means simply I am packed up with the regulated principles and I do not see whether I am making progress. And, just another quote, not about Niyamagraha. What is the first regulated principle? Know what? You all got it wrong. No, you know the answer. You already heard the talk. What is the first regulative principle? No. Oh yes, always remember Krishna. Because you heard the speaker. What's the second regulative principle? Never forget what? Oh, I thought you were referring to what. So the verse that says this is a very interesting verse. Smartavya satitam vishnor vishmartavyo nakarachit sarve virin shet asu itayor eva kinkara. Which basically means the same thing. And here's Prabhupada's translation of it. Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the shows should be the servants of these two principles. Maybe I'll read a little bit from the purport. This verse is a quotation from the Padma Purana. There are many regulative principles in the Shastras and directions given by the spiritual master. These regulative principles should be servants of the basic principle. That is, one should always remember Krishna and never forget him. This is possible when one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Therefore, one must strictly chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 24 hours a day. One may have other duties to perform under the direction of the spiritual master, but he first must abide by the spiritual master's order to chant a certain number of rounds. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we have recommended that a neophyte chant at least 16 rounds. This chanting of 16 rounds is absolutely necessary if one wants to remember Krishna and not forget him. Of all the regulated principles, the spiritual master's order to chant at least 16 rounds is most essential. So, I have a question for all of you. See if anyone can answer. The first regulative principle is always remember Krishna. The second is never forget Krishna. So, this is hypothetical. It's not true. I am saying that it really helps me to remember Krishna when I smoke marijuana. Because it makes my mind peaceful. What do you have to say about that? Does anyone have an answer? He thinks it's a great idea. We're going to be broadcast here. Yeah, maybe you were misled. Okay. This is not the answer I was looking for. Does anyone have a reason why I shouldn't do this? Wow.
Because the sculpture is the four regulative principles.
Yeah, but the first regulative principle is to always remember first. The second is to never forget first.
Smoke marijuana all the time.
Yeah, but we have pills. We have pills, we have brownies, we have all sorts of ways to ingest it. And also intravenous stuff too at night. So it's an interesting question, you know, really. It is an interesting question. Why? I mean, I can answer it.
Because it's a state of hallucination.
It takes what?
Somebody
smokes pot, it's puts him or her in a state of hallucinating and intoxication, and that's not natural. Remember Krishna is our natural state, and marijuana just pushes us back farther from Krishna. It works that way for you, but not for me. Let me explain. The remembrance of Krishna and the holy names, first of all, the holy names are not simply some material sound vibration. They have to descend. So when you take marijuana, you're actually going, well, descending, that's true. But you're going into an illusion within an illusion, and you're thinking you're connecting to Krishna, but you're actually connecting to like Maya Krishna, something you think is Krishna. Just like sometimes we find people who are non-devotees, they're chanting Krishna's holy names, and even some devotees like to listen to their records. There's some people who not only chant Krishna's names, not only are non-devotees, who don't believe in Krishna, need me. And we're thinking, oh, that's a really nice Harinam there. Hare Krishna, like that. And that's not Krishna's name. Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, the holy name doesn't appear simply with the movement of the mouth. It's not a material sound vibration. It's descending. So we want the actual Krishna to be remembered. And first of all, remembrance of Krishna means out of service. But if we want Krishna to actually be remembered, we have to connect through the orders of the spiritual master. It's not a question of simply making the mind peaceful, hearing some sound vibration. Is that clear? And Krishna is connected to through devotion. So in order to concentrate, meditate, remember Krishna always, it's not a question of adjusting the physical constitution of the body through some artificial means. The point is to motivate ourselves. When we first joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, usually we were motivated by four different reasons. This is Bhagavad Gita. Does anyone know the four? This is interactive seminar, so you don't fall asleep.
Looking for absolute truth.
Yeah. Knowledge. So that's what else adds to the extra shit. Distress. Or inquisitive. Yeah, inquiry. So basically, I would say most of us, unless we happen to be pure devotees, before we joined the Hare Krishna movement, and then we didn't need to join the Hare Krishna movement, we could make our own movement. Unless we were pure devotees before, we came for one of those four reasons. I mean, I was looking for knowledge and for prasad. But anyway, I was looking for what is the absolute truth. Because nobody could answer the questions. I went to the university. None of my professors could answer the questions I had. My mother certainly couldn't answer the questions. She told me the absolute truth was I had to serve her. And I didn't accept that. So, every one of us has some... So that motivated us in the beginning. You know, we were suffering. I remember when I first joined the movement, I was a brahmachari. That's a rare species nowadays. I don't see any of them here. Endangered species. Right? Don't any of you women go near these entities if you see them. So, when we were a bunch of brahmacharis living in the ashram, 30 people in the same room, Maharaj probably remembers this, sharing the same clothes, same socks, didn't match ever. And it was really austere. So I would pray to Krishna to kill me every day. Take me back to God. Not just I pray to Krishna. I sleep with the japa bag in my hand. Hare Krishna. Krishna, please, my dear Lord, take me back to God tonight. I don't want to wake up in this brahmachari ashram. It's like the opposite. There's a Krishna prayer. If I fall asleep, you know, I pray the Lord my soul to keep if I die before I wake. I pray the Lord, my soul, to take. You remember that? You don't remember that. So you have a similar prayer. So I was praying the Lord, my soul, to take. So anyway, so I got very intense chanting 24 hours a day. I was chanting Kirtaniyasanari. You know, 24 hours a day. In fact, the other brahmacharis hated it because I would wake up in the middle of the night and be chanting, screaming at the top of my lungs. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, shut up. Go back to sleep. So, the question is motivation. And oftentimes when we present Krishna consciousness to people, we don't present motivation, how to motivate them. Something I've been speaking about lately, many classes, is are the three factors in Krishna consciousness. That is the how, the what, and the why. Three factors. This is not Shastric, it's just coming from me. It's motivational stuff, okay? So generally, when people come to our temple for a Sunday feast, we present the what and the how. In other words, what is Krishna consciousness and how to do it? So someone walks in the door for the Sunday feast, Hare Krishna, you're in Maya. No, Hare Krishna, here are the four regulative principles. No meat, fish, or eggs. No intoxication. No gambling. No illicit sex. And what do we do for joy? Chant Hare Krishna. I think we've had enough of that. You know, someone walks out the door. I had the same thing happen to me in 1969 or 68. Walked into the door of the Hare Krishna temple. And they told me I was going to hell. Probably true. Because I wasn't shaved up, didn't have whale robes or anything like that. So they told me I was going to hell. And if I didn't join the movement immediately, I would be, because it was Kali Yuga, I'd be living underground, eating human flesh, and doing all sorts of interesting things. I'd be as short as a dwarf. Because that's Bhagavatam. The end of Kali Yuga, which I guess we're pretty close to the end. Just a little over 400,000 years. So I ran out the door as fast as my little legs could carry me. And then, fortunately, about a year or two later, I happened to meet His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And I experienced something different. I experienced compassion and love, which I didn't experience when I first walked in the Hare Krishna temple. And so, fortunately, because of the Prabhupada, I'm here. If it wasn't, God knows where I would be. So, oh, there's God. So when we present Krishna consciousness, this is basic marketing strategy. We should present the whys. Why should I take part in your movement? My why was to understand the absolute truth. That was my why. So what I want to do now with all of you is find someone who's next to you or close by you and tell them why you join the Krishna consciousness movement. If you have joined. Or if you haven't joined, tell them what would get you to join. What is your need that would get you to join the Krishna consciousness movement? And I'll give you 3 minutes. I let each one speak, and then we're going to share some of those realizations. How long do I have? Only till 11:30? Oh, okay. I'm going to go to the next one.
8 hours a day, started to study astrology, studied the Bible, studied books on India, and then one of my friends, his name is Jeffrey Hickey, Later on, I became Jagadish. Maharaj and Prabhu. He told me there was a little temple nearby. Because I was looking for a Buddhist temple, I wanted to find out how to make further progress. So then I went down there, and I learned that you're supposed to chant Hare Krishna. So that's what I did. And then within a couple of months, I joined.
So you were looking for knowledge?
Yeah, I was looking for the absolute truth.
The absolute truth. And now that you've found the absolute truth, this is the second part of the question. Put him on the spot. What motivates you now?
To find the absolute truth.
Good. Actually, Krishna says that's the best type of person. He was looking for knowledge. Okay, next one. Who else wants to volunteer?
The search for knowledge was also very much motivated by the distress factor. As I understood that there's a kind of essential problem in life, and that is fear. I understood my problem is that I'm afraid of death. So with that, I had a sense I need to find someone who is understood, who is beyond death. And then I'm not proud.
Wonderful. And what motivates you now?
Same thing.
Pretty good. And who else would like to share? Come in and out.
I was, let's say, the drop in the glass that was too much was a film where the end says, and they lived happily ever after. And I was so frustrated because I never saw this live happily ever after. So I said, please, Lord, give me something worth living, and I will dedicate my life to it. And then devotees came in bed sheets, and I said, oh, it can't be this. And I said, I'll check them a little and then we will see. But I'm still checking, so my motivation is still the same. I want to live this life happily ever after.
Happily ever after. Good. Very, very nice. Come on, let's have some more people. Otherwise, I'm going to start calling on people. Yes.
I want to say that my answer is a little bit different because with me there is a mixture of all these reasons why I joined. Because there is a little bit of inquiry, there is a little bit of search of knowledge because I was reading the books about philosophy and about God and so on. And there is also big stress because this time war is beginning in this area. And I was so distressed with this, and I want to get out of this. And it was a mixture of all these reasons with me. And just things getting started, I met one lady. She sent me a book about Krishna, few incense. I was in the army. Then I met Raghavaja Band in 1990 in Zagreb, and devotees were...
Closer. Hold the microphone.
Oh yeah. Devotees were very special to me, like persons from some other dimensions. And I was inquiring. And I started like this with all mixtures of reasons. So...
No. So what motivates you now?
I felt few drops of nectar of serving Krishna and devotees. And these drops and this happiness motivates me to go on. And also the knowledge that gives me a reason to hope that I can come back to Godhead and live different life from this.
Very nice. So what motivates you is the bhakti rasa, the taste for bhakti.
Yes.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Very, very small drops.
Small drops. He's humble. So, one of the ladies. Just go and take the microphone up to anyone.
I was looking for a purpose and...
Microphone closed.
I was looking for a purpose and I was always have feeling like I don't belong here, and through this philosophy and teachings I hope I will find myself. That's true. Absolute truth.
I was distressed, that this was for sure where I came. And after when my heart got cured, I left again because I don't need it anymore. And after 2 years, again, I met a devotee. And because I was in the temple visiting Sannyasis for 6 months, so I knew everything in Ljubljana, where is the temple, what the details and everything. And I was explaining to him, who was living there, how he's in the temple, in Ljubljana temple. And that devotee later, they said that he always talks, he's never quiet, but this time he was listening to me, and all what he said in the end, he was asking me why, he was asking me, so you like it? And I said, yeah, it was really nice, prasadam, everything. And then he was asking me, why you don't come back then if you like it? And I was inquired for that question, so then I came and I'm here.
Nice.
Yeah.
And now?
Now I want to be happy and... Really, really, I have a few realizations that only Krishna gives this possibility, even relationships or whatever happening around us, even health doesn't give you happiness. So I'm searching, looking for Krishna.
Very good. Very good. Anyone in the back want to share with us?
I would like to share my motivation for staying in Krishna consciousness. I think that this was the relationship between devotees. I think the most, the greatest stimulus to stay is the relationship between devotees. So I was looking for, you know, pure, loving, caring relationship. And I found that in Krishna consciousness, they are actually the most pure, the most loving, the most caring than like in the whole world. So the most. And the second point was that I was looking for the unity. I wanted to feel myself like a part of something really important, like a part of something great. Like I wanted to feel myself like I'm a gear in a huge machine, and like as a gear, I'm small. I didn't want to feel like so huge and so, you know, important or something. I just wanted to feel that I'm a small gear and someone needs me. And, like, together with all other gears, we can work together for, like, a huge idea, for something great, for something big. And just, you know, this relationship keeps us together. And that's what motivates me.
Wonderful. So, and right now, what inspires you? Same thing?
Yeah, this is it. Yes.
Fantastic. Anyone else before we go ahead? Anyone else? No? If not, we'll go ahead. So, we have these motivations. And oftentimes, and most of the time, we're not thinking or using those motivations to inspire us. Let me give you the example of Dhruva Maharaj, who of course had a bigger motivation than I think any of you. Any of you have a motivation that would compete with Dhruva Maharaj?
No, I don't think so. Dhruva Maharaj wanted a great kingdom because he was frustrated in his relationship with his father. So he wanted a kingdom greater, basically, than Lord Brahma. And with that motivation, guess what? He was chanting the names of the Lord. Now, I'm not suggesting that as a motivation for any of you. But he was chanting very intensely. In fact, he was a little boy. Now, little children usually are not so determined. Teenagers are less determined. And he was extremely determined. I mean, we hear in the Bhagavad Gita, what? Akeha Purunandana, isn't it? Pyavasayatvaka Buddhir, Akeha Purunandana, Bhosha Pastunandascha. And then also a corresponding verse, Bhogajshvari Vasaktanantaya Vritishetasam, Pyavasayatvaka Buddhir, Samana Navadhyate. In other words, people who are on this path are one point of their determination is one. And those who are attached to opulent life and sense gratification, guess what? Their intelligence is many-branched. So, we see Dhruva Maharaj, and his intelligence, let's talk about intelligence now. His intelligence was fixed on his goal. He was motivated by his goal. And because of that, he was so focused, he was able to achieve the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God. It's so focused that even when Narada Muni advised him, you know, go back home, little boy, basically, to paraphrase it, he said, I can't accept your instructions, Guru Maharaj. Of course, don't do that with your guru. Don't tell him I can't accept your instructions. Well, if your guru tells you not to chant Hare Krishna, you tell him that. One time, Prabhupada wanted to test the devotee's determination to take sannyas. And the devotee went to Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, I want to take sannyas. And Prabhupada said, I want you to get married. That's what we generally do in the sannyas ministry, right, Maharaj? You test them, you put a whole bunch of pretty girls in front of them. So, this devotee came back, I guess a few days later, with his fiancée to introduce her to Prabhupada. So, it was a test. Under certain circumstances, it's a test. So, Narada Muni was testing Dhruva Maharaj, and he passed the test and went on with his determination. So, basically, in the beginning, as he was chanting, he was thinking, I want that kingdom, I want that kingdom, I want that kingdom. Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Vasudevaya. Om Namo Vasudevaya, Om Namo Vasudevaya, Om Namo Vasudevaya, Om Namo Vasudevaya, Om Namo Vasudevaya. I wish I had that same determination. So, in order to be focused in our Krishna consciousness, the first point we're making in the seminar is to understand our basic motivation and use that motivation to focus us in our daily activities when serving Krishna. In other words, what is our goal? Where do we want to get to? And not only that, we can focus on or pray. The chanting and the devotional service is meant to be a prayer. As we recited this other verse, we're meant to fix our mind on Krishna, always think of Krishna, and never forget Krishna. So somehow or other, we have to be doing that while we're doing our service, while we're chanting, while we're attending the programs, to remember our goal. So in order to do that, we have to perform devotional service from the mind. Control the mind, subtle body, like that. And in order to do that, we have to be motivated. So each day, we may have our main motivation, which we've been describing here, but each day we have other things that inspire us in relationship to that main motivation. Like, my main motivation, I would say nowadays, is not liberation, is not getting out of the material world, is not even getting knowledge. Sorry.
I'm pretty ignorant. But my main motivation is somehow to learn to please Brahma. I'm just being honest about it. I have other motivations, like how to get electronic gadgets and stuff like that, but the main motivation is how to please Brahma. So when I'm doing my devotional service or chanting, I try to remember that motivation, but I, let's say, morph it into something that's more direct for that particular day, how I'm feeling. So in other words, while I'm chanting, I may be praying for the benefit of a particular devotee, or I'm chanting, I may be praying for the benefit of the Krishna conscious movement, or I'm chanting, I may be praying to be empowered to present Krishna consciousness to others. Or sometimes, you know, I'm praying that, oh my Lord, somehow or other I'm trapped in this hard material existence, please fix me up as one of the atoms at your lotus feet, please get me the hell out of here. So that may be my prayer. But I don't do this all the time, because none of us, including myself, especially myself, we're not perfect. But when I'm doing this, I'm able to be focused, because I'm performing devotional service from the heart, from the motivation. And that's really the secret to being focused. Now, that's a general thing. But then at the same time, there are specific things that we do, especially in the process of sadhana bhakti, especially the prayers, that we should be aware of what we're doing while we're doing it. Not only the general thing, you know, why am I doing what I'm doing? I'm performing devotional service, I'm trying to please Prabhupada. That's a general thing. But as we're chanting, we may not be thinking of the meaning of that particular prayer or that particular mantra. I'll give you a practical example. Every day, before we take prasadam, at least some of us, we say the prasadam prayer, right? Everybody heard of the prasadam prayer? Sharira, vijitaya, jitendriya, tehikala, etc. As I go around the movement, I ask devotees not to say the prasadam prayer, but what the meaning of the prasadam prayer is. And guess what? Hardly anyone knows the meaning. They think, oh, Om Tat Sat. Thanks a lot. Is it? Maybe I know some of you may know the meaning, some of the older folks here. Because we used to say it in English, isn't it? In the beginning days of the movement. Let's see, let me just pick someone at random. You like pin the tail on the donkey. So, okay.
Do you know the meaning of the prasadam prayer?
Yeah, not the whole, but I know.
Yeah. What do you know?
It's the mercy of the Krishna. The Lord is so merciful that He gave us this mercy in the form of prasadam. And then we take it and glorify the Sri Krishna and Radha.
That's good. It's part of it. Got two microphones, one for each hand. Stereo. So anyone else like to volunteer? That's good. We got that. Anyway, I'll tell you what it is. It's oh Lord, this material body is a lump of ignorance or place of ignorance. And of all the senses, the tongue is the most voracious. What? Sense is a path of network to death. Yuck! After hearing that, you don't want to eat anymore. My tongue. It's a network. And of all the senses, the tongue is the worst of them. It's most voracious. I know this. I'm just paraphrasing. It's most voracious and uncontrollable. Oh my God. That just takes me to death. For you, Lord Krishna, are so very kind to us. You send us this prasadam. Oh, Lord Krishna, help us control the tongue. So now let us take this prasadam and love, call out for Lord Chaitanya.
To our full satisfaction.
To our full satisfaction. Is that part of the Sanskrit? No, it's not. I don't think it's part of the Sanskrit.
It's Bengali.
see how little I know. So is that part of the Bengali, full satisfaction? Take this. No, it doesn't say full satisfaction. That's all right. We should still take it to our full satisfaction. Now let us take this Bhagavad Prasadam. Anyway, that's how we learned it. And in love, call out for Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda to please save us. Does that save us there in the prayer? No, save us in the prayer.
Call out to love, in love.
In love, but not devotion.
Chaitanya.
Love is devotion to you. Chaitanya is prema, prema dako, or prema dako. Yeah, love, call out for Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda.
It doesn't say four, it says
two.
Call out two.
Call out two, Chaitanya Nittai, not two. Just call out Chaitanya Nittai. Is it helping us there? No. Okay. So, anyway, the way I learned it was pretty much the way I said it. And so, do we actually think of the meaning when we're saying it? Most of us don't. We're just thinking, hope the prayer gets over so we can get down to our real business of eating. And another interesting mantra that we say every day is the pranam mantra to Srila Prabhupada. Of course, I think pretty much everybody knows the first pranam mantra, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadam, etc. So we have the second pranam mantra. Who knows the meaning of that? Namaste, Saraswati Deva, Gauravani Vajarni, Nivashesha, Sugyavadi, Paschacha, Deja, Tani. Besides Maharaj, who knows everything. And let's make one
thing. He knows too.
He knows too. No?
Yes.
All glories to you, O spiritual master, servant of Sarasvati Goswami. You are kindly preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya and delivering the Western world from impersonalism and voidism.
Ah, very nice. Very good. Very good. Begin an A. So, there's the meaning. So, maybe we don't know the meaning, or even if we do know the meaning, what are we thinking of when we bow down? Are we thinking of the meaning? Or are we just reciting the prayer and just getting up as soon as possible? Because that's what we're supposed to do. It's our ritual. Now, instead of genuflection, it's bow down, Mr. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Yeah, boy George. So, we're going to try something now, all of us, including myself. We're all going to offer obeisances to Prabhupada. And we're going to be thinking of the meaning of the two mantras when we do it. How's that sound? Can everyone? We'll do it together. I'm not going to ask each of you to do it. And then we're going to share how we felt different than normally when we offer obeisances. And it's a really amazing experience. Tomorrow, we're going to be doing this with the Guru Vashtika prayers, which is, we're going to teach you how to have such a taste, not teach you, we're going to facilitate, teach. We're going to help, facilitate, encourage, so that we can have more of a taste when we're chanting the Guru Vashtika prayers. Because generally, people call the Guru Vashtika prayers what? What's the name they usually give to the Guru Vashtika prayers?
Samsara
prayers. We're chanting the prayers of material entanglement this morning.
The prayer to death
and repeated birth and death. Isn't this cool? Yeah, please give me samsara. That's all I want for your lotus feet. So, But we're not. We're chanting the prayers to the spiritual master, Ashtaka, the eight prayers of the spiritual master. So we're going to go over each prayer and try to get into the mood of the prayer tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be like a prayer day. That as we hear each prayer, we're going to get into it. But now we're going to try with the prayer to Srila Prabhupada. Actually, maybe we'll do each one. No, we'll do them both together. So as we bow down, I'm going to bow down, even though normally as a guru I'm not supposed to bow down. But, you know, when you get more advanced in devotional service, you don't bow down anymore. You just pranam. So we'll say the prayer. I guess we could, we'll say it individually. And slowly, and think of the meaning of each word or the whole prayer as you do it. Experience anything different from saying the pranam prayer this time than they normally do? Yes, Maharaj, would you like to share that with us?
I just noticed that in the first verse we have the word bu tale on the surface of the earth. So dear to Prabhupada is dear to Krishna on this earth. And then in the second verse, we have paschatya desha tadine, unto him who is the deliverer of tadin, of paschatya desha, of the western world. So we've got the whole world, and then we have the western world.
Mm. So you found very much that the mantras connected with Prabhupada's mission.
There's geography. In both verses.
I won't mention it's connected with Krishna West. Don't worry. Because at Maharaj's here, I have to be very careful with my words. So, that's nice. And, I experienced when I talked about it, I felt real deep connection with Prabhupada. You know, I actually envisioned, because I have a very visual mind, I envisioned Prabhupada, you know, getting on the boat and coming over to the Western world and changing the whole, saving the whole world when I said the mantras. So in this way, even the pranam mantra, when we say it, can be a source of ecstasy. Each little thing, because Krishna is there in his holy name, Srila Prabhupada is there in the mantra that we say to him. So these are all means of connecting with Srila Prabhupada, connecting with the spiritual realm, and connecting with Krishna. So, someone else who experienced, let's say, a deeper connection. Yeah. Would you need his microphone back here?
Just everything that I say the mantra more slowly.
Yes.
Connected to the heart.
Yes.
Heart is feeling, some feelings.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. Yeah. It's connected to the heart. As we know, devotional service is executed with the subtle body. And of course, we also do it with the gross body. But the important thing is to fix the mind on Krishna, as stated about Maharaj Ambarish, Shivayamana, Krishna Padala Vindiyo. So we fix the mind on Krishna by doing all these various activities. So our whole point is to remember Krishna always. So someone else want to share with us? Anyone else? How they felt after saying the pranam mantra? Who should pick someone?
I felt that I was actually thinking about Prabhupada, yes, and his instead of just some, because since I never met him and I didn't, haven't read about him that much or listened about him that much yet, that actually we had a better understanding of what he actually did for us in the second part of the Pranam Mantra. What really struck me was that he is actually delivering us the messages of Lord Chaitanya, that through him we get this this knowledge.
So you thought about all those things as you were saying the Pranam Mantra. Well,
I'm saying it slowly.
Well, that's nice. What did Prabhupada say, maybe Prabhupada Maharaj or Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj, remember, when a devotee would just offer obeisances and just get up immediately? With knife?
Jackknife Dandavats.
He called Jackknife Dandavats. Because Prabhupada actually wanted us, you know, jackknife means something, close and open really quickly. So Prabhupada wanted us to do everything we do with attention. Prabhupada was very much like that himself. So, anyone else? And then we'll go on to one other mantra. Oh, no, yes.
When I first joined the Hare Krishna movement and I heard that Prabhupada, he mentioned that he was always remembering his spiritual master. So then I remember one day when I always was remembering Srila Prabhupada, and I thought that now I'm self-realized, because the next day was a little different. But when I say Prabhupada's mantra, and then I start, it reminds me that actually throughout the whole day, I should just be thinking that whatever I'm doing is to serve Srila Prabhupada, and at the same time I should remember Srila Prabhupada's instructions. So now I try, when I do say the mantra, generally speaking, I remember Srila Prabhupada, and I remember that's what I was supposed to be doing all the time, not just when I'm remembering saying the mantra.
Very good. Very good. Yes, all the time we're supposed to remember. Whatever we do, everything we do, whatever we offer, whatever we give away, whatever activity we perform, should be done as an offering to Krishna. And that means with the consciousness that we're offering to Krishna. So we're going to do one more mantra that some of you may not know. So it had, there's three words in this mantra. Hare. Can you all repeat?
Hare.
Krishna.
Krishna.
And I forgot the last one. And Rama. So, the Hare Krishna mantra, I mean, look, you get to give the direct translation as my, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in Krishna, in your service, in the service of Krishna. So Hare, and our Sanskrit expert can correct me if I get it wrong, is vocative for energy of Srimati Radharani, please engage me in Krishna service. So when we're chanting, we could be thinking, or we should be thinking something that's connected to that. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Of course, in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prayer, the Shikshastika, we have different, almost different levels of approaching the holy name. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur talks about how each verse in the Shikshastika refers to different levels of devotional service. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we can be thinking, like that verse I quoted before, Ayananda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitam Mam Vishamay Bhavam Budo, that my Lord, I'm suffering here in this material world, this horrible material world, please fix me up as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. And that's a prayer I think can resonate with most of us. And other prayers may not resonate with us at this particular juncture in our devotional service. I mean, how many of us can honestly pray, Krishna, you can crush me by your embrace, you can do anything and everything, and you'll remain my worshipful Lord unconditionally. How many can actually honestly say that that is their mode of devotional service? Raise your hand. No? How many people can honestly say that they have no desire for wealth or women or handsome men or followers? Raise your hand. Oh, good. We got some great devotees here. So,
I mean, one day we could say, but then the other.
You could say, but feel that, you know, really, that there is no more desire.
One moment.
For a moment. So, the prayer should be on the level in which we are at in devotional service. And so, what we're going to do right now is chant the holy name, and we're going to ask you not to pray in any of those ways referring to the Shikshastra, but to think of the meaning we gave at first to the holy name, which is, my dear Lord, please engage me in service. And pray, chant in such a way that you're begging. As Prabhupada said, we should be crying out or chanting the holy name like a child crying for his mother, like a little baby crying for the mother. So I don't want to hear anyone going, Hare Krishna, like that. But the mood should be there, Krishna, you know, save me, Hare Krishna. And we'll just chant for about a minute or two, because we only have 3 minutes left. And then we'll leave it at that, and then tomorrow we'll share our experiences from chanting. So let's just, don't use your beads. We'll just, actually we could chant all together at the same pace. That's actually very effective. So I just follow the rhythm that I set, and chant in a prayerful mood, like you really are asking Krishna to engage you in service or save you from the material world. You really want to connect with Krishna, like George Harrison said. I really want to see you, Lord. I really want to be with you, Lord. It takes so long, and it does take long. What did they say? 16 rounds, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. You heard that song? That's an old Hare Krishna song. So, let's just chant. We have 3 more minutes, so we'll chant tomorrow. We're going to share our experiences, and hopefully in the interim between today and tomorrow, that you'll try chanting more like this and we can share our experience in that. So, follow the speed that I'm chanting in. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, no more chanting today. We have to end right now, so try that in between today and tomorrow when you chant your japa. Maybe not that slow, because it would take a few hours, probably the whole day to finish your japa. But try to connect like that while you're chanting. Think of what you're doing, do it in a prayerful mood, and we'll see how we feel tomorrow. Okay? All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.